You're now listening to the A Place of Refuge Productive Living Podcast with Bishop Barry D. Walker. A Place of Refuge vision is to cause people to be productive in every aspect of life according to God's Word. For more information, please stop by our website at www.aplaceofrefugechurch.org. Now, here's today's message already in progress.
If you'll notice here is in Mark 14 and 32 that Jesus and his disciples came to a place called Gethsemane, a place that was located at the foot of Mount Olivet, of what is more commonly known as the Mount of Olives. Gethsemane was a garden at the foot of the mountain. And the meaning of Gethsemane really gives us an idea of what the garden looked like. Gethsemane means fruitful or plentiful. It was an olive garden, and there were olives galore in that particular place. And Jesus enjoyed going to that particular area to rest, meditate, or just spend time with his disciples. But on this particular occasion, it was not for rest. It was not to spend time with his disciples. It was not to enjoy the garden and maybe eat a couple of olives along with the lunch. It was not for that this time. This time, it was for him to initiate and face his final hour. See, what Jesus would have to go through in order to redeem mankind, it didn't just start on the cross. The place that it started was here. It was here. His final hour was here, where he had to face, had to deal with what he was ultimately chosen to do. And you have to look at the text in reference to Jesus twofold. You have to consider that no doubt he was Emmanuel, God with us, 100%. But you also have to consider that he was just like us in a physical, emotional, mental sense. He could feel like we feel. Things came against his mind like it comes against our mind. And sometimes, especially when we know that we are getting ready to go through something we don't want to go through, it has the capacity to affect us. I said it has the capacity to affect us. And when you know that you're getting ready to go through something that you really don't want to go through, and you're Christian, you have to do what Jesus did in the text. You got to go to prayer. And so when he got there, he told the majority of his disciples, I want you to just stay right here. I'm going to go over yonder and pray. Peter, James, John, y'all go with me. And so he went to pray. And see, Jesus was a person that not only believed in prayer, he taught his disciples how to pray. He said some things about prayer centuries ago that are still true right now, that we have personally experienced. He said in Luke 18 and 1 in part that men ought always to pray. And when you pray, you won't faint, you won't lose heart, you won't give up. That's what Jesus taught. If you pray, you won't give up. And that's some of our testimony. Oh, you were about to throw in the towel until you remember what your Lord said. Don't you give up. Don't you give up, because prayer would make you and your situation better. Jesus said in Matthew 7 and 7, ask and it shall be given. Seek, you'll find. Knock, and don't put that door down. Knock, and it will be open. Then he went on to say that prayer is not a respect of person. That is God when he hears prayer. He said in Matthew 7 and 8, for everyone that asks is going to be given. Everyone that seeks will find. And everyone that knocks, it'll be open. It'll be open. Jesus so believed in prayer to where he could lay hands on folk. Pray for them, and they would receive a miracle. Peter's mother-in-law was sick, and Jesus just simply prayed. She got up immediately and started serving him. He knew the power of prayer. He also taught his disciples that if two or three of you can agree as touching anything that you ask, that the Father would hear it and he would grant the request. And so Jesus, the man, just wanted the three, Peter, James, and John, to pray with him. Let's just agree. Y'all just pray right here. Y'all just pray. And I'm going to go right here. And so while he was praying and knowing he had given them an order, when he went back on a couple of occasions, they were not praying. He had been there for them when they needed him. And he just wanted them to pray with him. Handpicked him. And how in the world three grown men fall asleep at the same time? Three grown men. Can you imagine that? Come on, Elder White, Elder Bray, and Elder Beasley. Y'all go over there and pray. I'm going to pray right here. We got to agree now. Y'all, we got to agree that we're going to go through this and it's going to be well. And then 2 minutes later, I go over there, they sleep. Why didn't they pray with him? Why did they go to sleep in a time when Jesus asked him to agree with him? Well, that's the implication. He wanted them to pray, to help him with his hour, what he was going through. But nevertheless, despite them sleeping, Jesus continued to pray. And see, we have to understand that sometimes the very folk that you feel like you need to go with you ought to be a strength for you, they not going to be there. Sometimes your own husband won't be there. Your own wife won't be there. You're going to have to make a choice. Am I going to quit just because she not going to be here? Am I going to stop doing what I need to do just because she's not going to be here? Or are you going to go on? See, salvation is an individual thing. The Bible said, let every man, every person work out his or her own soul salvation. You can't wait on folks to get saved. You can't wait on everybody to do the right thing that's a part of your life. You got to learn how to go when others decide they're not going to go. You got to move on when others decide they're going to go to sleep on you. You still have to move on. You know how it is. You're on your way to Florida. You just ask your wife one thing. Look, I just need you to talk to me until we get there. And a nice little conversation going until you get on the other side of Atlanta, and then it's over. You got a choice. You're going to pull over and go to sleep, or you're going to go on. Say to your neighbor, you got to go on despite what others choose to do. God made us free more ladies. If you don't want to go with me, I'm going to go on by myself. The problem with some folk, they know they need to be saved, but they trying to wait on their friend to get saved. Trying to wait on their friend to make up their mind. Trying to see if their wife going to walk up to the altar with them. You better walk up to the altar without your wife. You be waiting on your wife and mess around and drop dead. And then at your funeral, your wife decide to get saved. You got to do it yourself. If it's right, do it. Say that to somebody. If it's right. And so he kept praying, even though he went back talking to him, letting them know what was going on. And so I want you to notice again. I want to read it again. Here in Mark 14. If you'll notice, after he took Peter, James, and John with him, he began to be troubled and deeply distressed. And this is what he said to them. He said, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death, or because of death. Stay here and watch. His hour had came where he would start to bore the grief of mankind. It has started happening in the garden. He would have to carry the sorrows of the whole world if mankind was to be redeemed, and it had started in the garden. I'm distressed. I'm sorrowful. Even unto death. But Jesus, you were so brave when you went into the temple and they had made your house or your father's house into a den of thieves. You overturned the tables of the money changers. In public, you renounce what was wrong and even call religious and political leaders of the day hypocrites. How in the world are you experiencing sorrow? How in the world are you going through distress? Say to your neighbor, it was prophetic. Isaiah had talked about how he was going to have to bear it in Isaiah 53:4. He's going to have to carry it. And now all of a sudden, before he even gets to trial, before he even starts his journey up to Golgotha Hill, now he's carrying your sorrows and my sorrows. He is already happening, and he's looking for some help, but he can't find no help with folks he done taught how to pray. It started right then. Right then. It wasn't normal what he was going through, but he had to experience it for us. Can you imagine somebody having to feel pain so you wouldn't have to go through so many painful experiences? Paul took it a little further. Paul said he became poor so we could be rich. Not financially, but in every aspect of our life. He became poor. Gave all of himself so we could be productive in every aspect of our life. That's the reason when we looked at how blessed we are, we should always give him the glory, the honor, and the praise. He carried that. He took on that so you wouldn't have to struggle. He took it on so you could have what he prophesied on earth. John 10:10, I have come that you may have life and that you may have it more abundantly. And so he's going through this period of where is sorrow and distress. And so here comes Jesus the human. He's taking on something that, if the truth be told, for us, it would have been unbearable. No way we could have done it. No way. No way we could have just taken on the sins of the whole world. I mean, you going to put all that on? Oh, no. It's enough for us to take on the problems when it comes to our family. Man, I don't know how that boy got in all that trouble. Good God, I can't even go to sleep. That boy, he done got in that trouble. And I had told, that's one person. It bother you just to deal with something that's going on with your boy or your girl. But here Jesus got to take on what's going on with the entire world. Can you imagine what was happening mentally? Just look at how you have to deal with just one issue, one major issue a week. And multiply that times trillions. Bottom line, we can't even compare what we go through to what this man was going through in the garden. We're not even at the cross. We're talking about the garden right now. He wasn't a weak man. He was a man that was taken on the sins of the world, fulfilling his ultimate mission that God sent him to do, to redeem us, to make us into the person that God himself had ordained for us to be. And so you, if you'll notice, look at what Jesus finally says to the Father because of all of what he's going through. I want to keep this picture before you. He says here in verse 35, he went a little further on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, this is what he prayed, the hour might pass from him. Now you know, if you read scripture, that Jesus was not a person that would give up. He was a person that taught not to give up. He utters out of his mouth again that if it were possible that the hour might pass from him. Now he hadn't even got to the cross. And when he got to the cross, he said nothing like this. I'm going to tell you something. I used to think that the old saying was true. Sticks and stones may break your bones, but talk, just don't worry about that. But do you know something? There are things that hurt worse than somebody beating you with a fist or a stick. That's what he was feeling. He wasn't being hit with a whip that had cat o' nine tails on it. No. It was him going through it mentally and emotionally, spiritually, in his soul, when he wondered if it were possible that the hour could just pass. Can you imagine him taking on stuff that you would have went through, but he just carrying it all? I don't want Walker to have to go through all this stuff right here, so I'm just gonna bear it for him. But I just can't do it for Walker. I got to do it for Bray. I got to do it for the whole city of Carrollton, even for them folk who don't believe him. I still got to do it for everybody. And so he battled it mentally, emotionally, spiritually. He battled it. And so finally, in verse 36, he says, Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Basically, you have all power. You can do anything. and he says to him, take this cup away from me. Take it away. Take it away from me. Take this cup away from me. I know you can do it. All things are possible with you. Then notice, he wanted him to take it away. I'm going to deal with that first. Take away the cup. The cup represents a painful experience. Take it away. Take this painful experience away. Take all of this that I'm feeling in my spirit and my soul away. Take it away. How many of you ever went through something you just wanted God to just take it away? Ain't nobody hit you, but something happened in your life and it hurts so bad. Oh, God, just take this pain away. You had a loved one that God took and it just. You couldn't even explain the pain. You thought when you got your leg broke that it was painful. But then when God took your mama. Your grandmother. Take it away. Take it away. Wouldn't it be nice if everything we go through, God just take away? Wouldn't that be wonderful? If every time you go through something, all you got to do is get in there and pray. Oh, God, take it away. And like a genie, God said, psh, gone. And that's what some of us want. We don't want to go through nothing. We just want God to take stuff away. We don't care if we can learn something from it or we can grow from it. No, we just want him to take it away. But when you're to the point to where all you want is for God to take away what's bothering you, you'll never grow. You'll never grow. If you get to a place to where all you want God to do is take away this pain, take away this suffering, or like some folks do, their mother, grandmother, somebody, they'll be at the service and they'll get to the casket. Bring her back, Lord. Bring her back. And be just as serious. That's all they want. Let it go back to the way it was, Lord. Just resurrect her and let it go back to the way that it was. Lord, just let me feel like I felt when I was 25. I know I'm 67 right now, but just let me feel. Renew my youth. Renew my youth. Renew my. I'm going to tell you something. Something about us as Christians, when you're immature, you will pray hard for God to move something. And he won't do it. Because it's part of your destiny. If it's not part of your destiny, he will move it. But then when you get mature, you're just like Jesus in the text. In the same breath that Jesus said, if it's possible, take this cup away. The same breath, without even hesitating, nevertheless. Not what I will, but your will be done. Same breath. What didn't even a second pass. If it's possible, take this cup away. Nevertheless. Now, some folks try to act like it wasn't even in the same breath that showed his maturity. The same breath did not stop. Nevertheless, not as I will, your will be done. His maturity. In the garden, he showed Jesus the man and Jesus the spirit-led man. He showed Jesus the human and Jesus the son. He showed who we should be in the garden. You have to know that you're going to have painful experiences. You have to know that you're going to experience some stuff that it ain't going to feel like you can make it. It's not going to feel like you can come through it. It is going to overwhelm you, and you're going to be to the point to where you feel as if you can't even come out of what you're going through. But say to your neighbor, you can come out. But in order to come out, you have to go through. You got to go through. Yes, you have. You got to go through some painful stuff in your life. I'm telling you. I never expected to see somebody go through what I seen Brother Joey go through. And then turn around and start experiencing some of the same things myself. Within a two-week period, his aunt died. Then his sister died. And then he went to get his daddy to bring him back to Villa Rica, and his daddy died. Within two weeks. And the only thing that I could say to him was, look what Jesus went through. Then the clock turned. Here we go. Brother Ricky dies. Hold on, though, it ain't over. Mama dies. Hold on, it ain't over. Miss Margaret dies. You're going to experience some painful stuff. You're going to experience some painful things in your life that are bigger than you. It's God's will. You think it was God's will for Brother Ricky, your mama, and Miss Margaret to die? I know it was. The Bible is very clear. It's once appointed for a person to die. That's just part of it. When you think it was God's will for so-and-so to go through all that he went through in his body, many are the afflictions of the righteous. But God delivers him or her out of every single one. Or out of every one. You are going to experience pain. You're going to go through something. But you have to have in your being what our primary example had in his being. Nevertheless, not as I will, your will be done. Not as I, Lord, I don't know why you chose now for this to happen, but nevertheless, not as I will, your will be done. Am I saying everything is God's will? No, sometimes we mess up ourselves. Sometimes we cause bad to happen. That's the reason you have to know firsthand when you are in the will of God, and when something happens, God is using it not to destroy you, but he's using it in order to bring forth a testimony, not just for you, but for somebody else. Say to your neighbor, I'm glad Jesus went through everything he went through in that garden. If he had not went through everything he went through in that garden, I wouldn't know how to be happy in the midst of trouble. I couldn't quote Psalm 35 and following and mean it. Weeping may endure for a night, but some joy is coming in the morning. I couldn't talk to you like Paul talked to Timothy when he told Timothy, if you suffer with the Lord, you will also reign with him. Say to your neighbor, you got to suffer if you're going to reign with him. You got to go through something if you expect to come out with God's blessings, with his benefits. But it hurt, Pastor. I don't care how much it hurts. What God is going to do for you in the end can't even be compared to what you're going through physically, emotionally, mentally, and so forth. Listen to this. Paul said, and I want you to listen to this very closely. He said, I reckon the present sufferings that I'm going through are not even worthy to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed. You can never look at where you are right now, which is painful, and think that nothing good is going to come out of it. When Jesus got that nevertheless in him and uttered it to the Father, it was then to where he went back to his disciples, but it wasn't to tell them that they need to keep doing what they're doing. He went back a new person. It's time to go now. It's time to go now. And when he got that nevertheless in his spirit, from that time forth, he faced everything he had to go through with conviction, joy, and a determination that can only be deemed doggedness. He was determined that he was going to fulfill his destiny in order for us to be redeemed. He was going to fulfill John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. But listen to this. That whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We Christians, the same thing he went through for us, similar things we gonna have to go through for others. There's a cup you have to drink from that the Lord will never take away. You can pray, take it away all day, but he'll never take it away until you learn to drink it and be happy despite what you go through. And I'm going to stop right there. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise. Somebody say about